brings us to the throne of heaven. Amen? Music has that gift of bringing us close to God and reflecting on the many, many, many blessings he bestows upon us. Some of you can hear that I am sick. Yes, was not planning to be sick today. In fact, I thought I had made it. Carolina got sick, I think, in December, January. Thank you. And I saw several of you get sick. I thought, wow, I didn't get sick this year. But I think it was Tuesday afternoon where I started to feel uncomfortable. And my voice changed, got deeper. And was a little more tired than usual. But I think I'm on my way out. Amen? I'm on my way out. So if today I don't shake your hand, it's not because I don't love you, okay? Just don't want to pass it on. And want to make sure you stay healthy. Today I want to share with you something that I found in Scripture. A few verses that stirred my heart when I was at prayer meeting two Wednesdays ago. And as I read these texts, it just surprised me. I don't know. It made me ask the question regarding the Holy Spirit. It's a subject I don't talk a lot about. And about two Fridays ago, I asked the kids, I said, hey, I'm going to share with you something on the Holy Spirit. And one of the kids, probably a first grader or second grader, just asked the question, who's that? I said, I know, we talk so little about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was given to us by God, amen? Was given to us by Jesus. The Holy Spirit has the power to renew us, change us, transform us. And I would say more than ever, we need the Holy Spirit. Amen? I need the Holy Spirit to fulfill the work that God has intended, planned before you were even born. God has a wonderful plan for you. And yes, we're already at the end of the month of January. Wow. It flew by, didn't it? Fourth Sabbath of January. Only 11 more months to go for this year. It's going too fast. How many of you have tried doing a remodeling project? A kitchen or a bathroom, living room. We always learn something, don't we? Yes. I had a friend who wanted to remodel, I think it was the second floor of his home, wanted to put new flooring, wanted to put a new window, wanted to put insulation. I don't know how I got stuck with the insulation, but I did it. And at the end, I learned a lot. I was like, wow, I couldn't wait to see the end product. I was just looking forward. It took a while, but we got it done. And coming to the United States after school, I thought I could do something like that too. And I tried it. And again, I learned so much. But I believe, brothers and sisters, that God also wants to remodel each one of us. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. We who are used to doing bad, we who are used to doing what is evil, he wants us to show us what is good. what the Lord desires of you and me, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Can you imagine a church like that? A church that loves each other, that cares about each other, that calls you when you are not seen. We're not there yet. But by God's grace, we can be there. Amen? We can be there. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament is described by different terms and different words that try to describe this amazing being who is part of the Godhead. Uses words like wind, fire, oil, water, describing the renewing power that it has upon human beings. The Holy Spirit is described as wind. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, telling him about his new birth experience. If you go with me to John, chapter 3, I know we read it 2 weeks ago. I want to go there again. Look at a passage familiar to us. Jesus explaining the work of the Holy Spirit says in verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the ability to move us in the right direction. Amen? Any of you have sailboats or like to go sailing? Or any of you experienced the Santa Ana winds? Yes, while you're driving down the freeway. It can move you, and many times in ways you would not want. Yes. But praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit has the power to move me when I am going on the wrong path. It has strength, power to move me in the right direction. Amen? And the Bible tells us the only thing we need to do is ask. If you're not sure what to do next, just ask. The Holy Spirit promises to work in your life and move you in the way that you should go. The Holy Spirit is described in the Scriptures as fire. And we know what fires can do. But here it has a different use. And I would like to invite you to go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3. We're going to use our Bibles today. We're going to look at several passages that use some of this imagery. Matthew, chapter 3. I'm sorry, Malachi, chapter 3. Thank you. Malachi, chapter 3. Verse 1 tells us, behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, our Lord Jesus, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 2 tells us, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. The Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples on Pentecost. And as they were sitting there, a mighty wind rushed in. They were all united. They were all of one accord. And these flames fell upon each one of these disciples. Does the Holy Spirit want to purify us, brothers and sisters? Does the Holy Spirit want to change the way we feel, the way we think? Amen? The Holy Spirit wants to create in us a new heart, a clean heart. And yes, like fire purifies silver and gold, so the Holy Spirit is able to remove anything that is an obstacle between us and God. Amen? The Holy Spirit has the ability to bring out that which is valuable in each one of us. Amen? The Holy Spirit has the ability to reflect God's character upon each one of us. Amen? Just like silver when it's polished, when it's purified, gold when it's polished and purified. It shines, it reflects that which is around it. So God's Holy Spirit wants to also purify each one of us, renew each one of us, change each one of us. The Holy Spirit is also mentioned in the scriptures as oil. And we know that oil can be something very soothing upon the skin. Amen? We have cream, and when our skin is very dry, it renews it. It refreshes it. It revitalizes it. Oil also is used for oil lamps, and it works as fuel. In today's children's story, we were all reminded that good works are only possible through Jesus. Amen? There's no other way we can do good works unless we invite God's Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and change us and transform us. Why is this? Why is this so important, brothers and sisters? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? I want to invite you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 25. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. The Bible tells us, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a," what? "New heart, and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them." God's Holy Spirit is the one who can change our hearts of stone and make them into hearts of flesh. But the text that we read for scripture reading did not mention fire, did not mention oil, and did not mention wind. It mentioned water. And we know that water has the power to renew things. Amen? Last Sunday, I was driving up to Paris, close to where George and Benny live. And if you've ever gone up the 15 towards Nuevo, it's usually pretty dry, isn't it, George? But I was amazed. I thought it was fake. I saw green grass everywhere. I was like, wow. And then I could see the mountains in the background with snow on top of it. And I thought, look at what a little bit of water can do. Amen? It could bring this dry land. It could bring it back to life. And wait till the springtime comes. Yes? We're going to see some beautiful flowers. We're going to look around and go, wow! What water can do. So we in Southern California understand the power that water has. And we also understand what happens when we don't have water. Yes? Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Has anyone done that little trip down the Grand Canyon and then up again? Some of you have, okay. Anybody gone to Havasu Falls, Arizona, in the summer? Beautiful place to go see. But to get there, you have to walk 10 miles. And you want lots of water. I noticed how people can change all of a sudden when they don't have water. I was leading a group of young people to Havasu Falls. We got up early. I was the one driving. I think we left at 1 in the morning from Santa Ana. Got there several hours later, but it was already 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. We started to walk. By the time we got to the camp, it must have been noontime. But I thought the youth that were with me were going to stone me, brothers and sisters. They're like, Pastor Sam, why did you bring us out here? You're going to kill us. I understood how Moses felt. I understood well how he felt. It's like they all of a sudden changed. Once they saw the water, everything was okay. They enjoyed themselves there during the weekend. But yes, water is important. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can work in us an amazing miracle. So I invite you to go back with me to the Gospel of John. Let's go to John, and we're going to look at this passage that Jesus shared with his disciples, with all those who were listening. John chapter 7, we're going to verse 37, 38, and 39. And there we find that Jesus was at a feast. He was at an important event. It was the Feast of Booths. And people were building these little booths around the city of Jerusalem. At first, he had told his brothers he was not going to go. There were many who were seeking to kill him. He did not want to be confronted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So he let his brothers go ahead of him. But later on, he went. And John chapter 7, verse 37 tells us that on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The people were astounded by the authority and power that he spoke. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And he invited those who were still thirsty to come to him and drink. Do you ever feel thirsty? Not thirsty because you don't have water at home. I'm sure you have water at home. But it doesn't matter how hard you work. or how many degrees you have, or how many friends you have, you still feel thirsty. You still feel like something is missing, and you quite don't know what that is. Jesus knew. And verse 38 tells us, he who believes in me, as the scripture has says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen? Rivers of living water. Not only do you receive, but now you give rivers of living water. Growing up, I had the opportunity, the blessing to visit my grandparents in Mexico. They are from a very small city. Now, it's a small city called Salina Cruz, Oaxaca. And my grandparents lived on a little house on a hill. And half the house, I remember, was church. And today, Buzz presented a mission video that presented a person who had made their house into a church. My grandparents, that was home, and on Sabbath, it was church. And people would come from the community to gather there. As a small five-year-old, I remember there was no bathroom in the house, okay? You went outside. And as a kid, I also remembered there was no running water inside the house. And so we had to walk down the hill. At the bottom, there was this well. And I remember looking into that well, seeing my face all the way down, but also seeing all this dust and other things that had fallen into the well. And I thought, oh no, I don't want to drink this water. There's something about flowing water and living water, amen? It refreshes us. It satisfies us. It quenches our thirst. And that is exactly what Jesus wants to do for you and for me. Amen? He wants to quench our thirst. Sometimes we don't even know we're thirsty. But Jesus says, if you believe, if you believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I asked the group as we were studying this, where in scripture does this word living water show up? So many of our members grabbed their Bible and found some texts in the book of Isaiah. And I want to go with you there to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. And we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 44. And this is what it says. For I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. They will spring up among the grass like willows by the watercourses. In the book of Isaiah, God presents his desire to pour his living water upon his people. Pour his spirit upon his people. And I don't know about you, but I've asked myself this question. If God has the desire to pour his Spirit upon you and me, why is it most of the time hard for me to see this living water flowing out of me? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever felt that way? I was reflecting, and I said, God, could it be that this container, this vessel, is broken? And therefore it's leaking, yes? You can pour water, you can pour oil, you can pour your Spirit. Do you think God has the ability to restore us, renew us, brothers and sisters, so that when he pours his living water, it doesn't just leak out, but it flows out. Amen? Amen. And it reaches those who are around us, inviting them to taste, inviting them to try, to experience this living water. I believe the Holy Spirit is the only one who can seal us, amen? So that nothing leaks out. That we can be a conduit, to be a light to this world, to be a source of living water to those around us. If you go with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8, it tells us something interesting about living water. Or rivers of water. Proverbs chapter 11. Excuse me. It's chapter 18, I believe, then. Proverbs 18, verse 4. Proverbs 18, verse 4. And it says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. So the words that I speak can be something that brings life to others, brothers and sisters. The words that we share can encourage those around us. The words that we express, the actions that we do, may encourage those who might be giving up and saying, I can't anymore. Is that what God wants to do in each one of us? He wants to pour his Holy Spirit so that we can be a blessing to those around us. There's a story that we know well of someone who had this experience. I invite you to go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And verse 7 tells us that a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Waters. Amen? A Samaritan woman was thirsty. She had gone to her one source of water, this well, the well of Jacob. But she had no idea that she would find the source of all living water. Amen? Jesus was going to be there. And she asked a question, a good question. The woman said to him, "Sir," verse 11, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." We know what that woman said. She said, "Sir, give me that water. I need that water." And when Jesus revealed to her who he was, the Messiah, who would give her his life for many, could she keep this to herself? She couldn't. She had to share. In fact, the Bible tells us she left her jar right there, didn't fill it up. She went back to the city. And when she found her friends, when she found her neighbors, when she found people on the streets, she testified of who Jesus was. In fact, verse 39 tells us, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Amen? She shared. She shared what Jesus had told her. What is Jesus telling you today? Is he telling you that you need a new heart? Is he telling you that you need his spirit? Is he telling you to come and drink? All you who are thirsty, come to me, says Jesus, and drink. John chapter 7, verse 39 tells us, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." In reading The Desire of Ages, and I finish with this, Sister White shares on page 454 the following: "Jesus knew the wants of the soul. Pomp, riches, and honors cannot satisfy the heart. If any man thirsts, let him come unto me. The rich, the poor, the high, the low are alike welcome. He promises to relieve the burdened mind, to comfort the sorrowing, and to give hope to the despondent. Many of those who heard Jesus were mourners over disappointed hopes. Many were nourishing a secret grief. Many were seeking to satisfy their restless longing with things of the world and the praise of men. But when all was gained, they found that they had toiled only to reach a broken cistern from which they could not quench their thirst." And this is where the Holy Spirit and the church say, "Come." An invitation for you, an invitation for me, to drink of the water that heaven offers freely. Amen? It's something that you and I can receive today. It's something that you and I can also share today with someone else. And this morning after first service, after Brother Buzz shared some videos of people who are sharing in different parts of the world. In Mozambique, a woman who had lost all hope, a woman who had had a surgery and things didn't go as planned. She lost her limbs, her legs that were amputated. Her husband left her. She had children. She had no hope. And the person who washed her clothes was an Adventist. Amen? And she couldn't do it anymore, and she went and shared this concern with her church family. And several people went and started to wash the lady's clothes. Not only did they wash her clothes, but they told her about Jesus. Amen? And when she found out about Jesus, do you think she could keep it to herself? She couldn't keep it to herself. She shared it with her neighbors, with her friends. What is Jesus doing in your life, brothers and sisters? Is he doing great things? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you sharing it with someone? Praise the Lord if you are. And if you aren't, we know where to go. Amen? He promises to give us words, words that will flow out of us like living water and will refresh those around us, our neighbors, our family, our church family. And by God's grace, people will know that we have been renewed. Amen? That we have been made new again because of what God is doing in our life. Amen.